Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
The pads have come on, and these guys are thumping. That's what happened today at training camp. First day of pads, first day of contact, and we were there to catch it all, and they have just come off the field not long ago, the team. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, ready to get into it for these next couple of hours to tell you how this Browns team has looked since they took the field for the first time on Saturday. We've been there for all of that. Very exciting time. It amps up today, Nathan, when the pads come on.
It was great to see the pads get on there today. A good third day of practice, I thought. Sometimes the offense looked good, other times the defense looked good, but it was nice, as Coach Patton says, to be able to hear practice, not just see it. Some guys thudding up today, and I'm excited about this team, and I'm excited about what we've seen, the development that we've seen over 3 days, and obviously a lot more to go. We're just getting the ball rolling here, and we're going to have one of the guys who I think has stood out over the first couple of days of training camp, defensive lineman Calvin Barnett, will be joining us on today's show. We'll also hear from CBS Sports NFL insider Jason LaCanfora in the second hour. We'll have sound from Coach Pettine, sound from the owner of the Cleveland Browns, Jimmy Haslam. Lots of stuff we're going to be talking about here today.
And I'm glad Calvin Barnett will be part of this show, because he certainly jumped out at us during off-season workouts. We saw this guy, right? I mean, he was always making you look, at least initially, look at the roster to double-check the number, because he was involved in things coming in again as an undrafted free agent. And then you see him in training camp right away establish his presence. And I think the defensive line as a whole has been probably the most consistently impressive group through these first 3 days of camp, Barnett being one of them. Armani Bryant being another. Two guys who look like they're going to get to the quarterback. They're going to give this team the combination of pressure from the line as well as the outside linebacker group. And we know how talented a group that is, or at least it should be. We didn't get the production you were looking for from Paul Kruger or Barkevious Mingo last year. But I think, Nathan, if the D-line ends up performing as well in games as it's looked in practice so far, that's going to have a nice carryover effect to the entire front seven.
Yeah, and I know the coaching staff is optimistic about the talent in the defensive line room. And you got to remember, Anthony Weaver, the defensive line coach, by the way, happy birthday, Coach Weaver. It's his birthday today. He orchestrated a great turnaround in the defensive front of the Buffalo Bills last year. He's now in Cleveland. I know for a fact the players love having him as their coach. They love playing for him. They know he's played the game at a high level. They can relate to him. He's done a good job. And this group has absolutely been the standout of camp over the first 3 days. I think if there's one thing you take away, it's that the defensive line looks good. And we really haven't seen Billy Winn in there, as he's battling a hamstring injury. Hope to see him back there soon. But you talk about the names, you know, Desmond Bryant, Ataba Rubin. They have looked very good. John Hughes has been a revelation in terms of his brute strength. I don't know how many times you watch John Hughes drive an offensive lineman backwards. He is as strong as a bull. Armonte Bryant, as we joked, you know, he's a guy who seems to have an apartment right near the quarterback. He's spending so much time close to him in the offensive backfield. He's a great pass rusher, the seventh rounder of last year, showing that he could make big strides in year number two. Calvin Barnett, who we will have here momentarily on CBD as well. It's a deep group. Ishmaili Kitchen, don't want to shortchange him.
No.
Obviously, we haven't seen Phil Taylor as much as we'd like just yet. But
John Hughes has been in there.
Hughes, strong guy, John Hughes, very strong guy. Lots to like about this defensive front, and I think it's going to be something. This defense, as a whole, is going to be a staple of this team. We saw some of the young fellas make plays today. Justin Gilbert had his first interception in a one-on-one drill. He was fired up, jumped up, and celebrated with Joe Hayden. Chris Kirksey in the team drills picked off Johnny Manziel, and certainly had a good day of practice as well. But Vic, but we got to start with it at the top. Your thoughts so far, 3 days in, on the quarterbacks?
Yeah, my thoughts are these. It's been clearly a case of the more experienced Brian Hoyer looking like the more experienced guy. He has not been perfect. In fact, he had a rougher start on Saturday than I thought Johnny Manziel did or the other quarterbacks, but came back so strong on Sunday, really had a strong day Sunday. Today, more installation, about 45 more plays were installed today. Now, remember, when we talk about installation, the players have seen these plays and actually gone through the vast majority of them, if not all of them, during off-season workouts. But there is that gap of about 5 weeks between the end of the off-season workouts and the start of camp. So they get reintroduced to these plays, and they're done in succession, in order. So today was different than the previous 2 days, and you could see with the plays that were put in today, some struggles by both quarterbacks and by the offense in general. What I see, though, generally speaking, is that Johnny Manziel still looks uncomfortable in two ways. One, I think hearing the plays that he gets from Kyle Shanahan and then spitting them back out in the huddle. The lengthier time. You see upwards of 8 seconds sometimes to get a play called in the huddle. Sometimes they have to restart because it's not communicated well or something has gone awry. And that tends to happen more often when he's there. Number two, he's not in his comfort zone as a guy who worked exclusively in shotgun formation at Texas A&M. He is working under center primarily in these drills. And the idea here is to get him used to that. He's got it. That's the new thing. And it hasn't been easy. It throws him off. There's a level of discomfort that comes with that. And for everybody today, having pads on is a whole different feel, especially for quarterbacks throwing the football as opposed to doing so without pads on. And you notice, Nathan, I did today, that for Hoyer as well, it was a different feel on just that whole movement of delivering the football. And I thought for Johnny, there was just more adjustment time needed in that area. But I think overall right now, my thought is Brian Hoyer should be the guy that is leading this team into the season. And unless I see some real dramatic drop in his play and unbelievable performance on Manziel's part, I'm going to stick to the idea that the more experienced guy is the right guy to go with while the other guy is learning. And I think the learning curve is considerable for Manziel. When things break down, he's going to do, obviously, things physically that Brian Hoyer and few other quarterbacks can do. But I think for the most part, you want to count on things not breaking down most of the time and go with more stability.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think Brian Hoyer absolutely should start the first preseason game. He's ready. You talked about just, and as I said, and Mike Pettine said, it's more about Johnny and the playbook and his command of the playbook than it is right now, at least at this point, Johnny against Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer gets the plays called quickly, and now the huddle, makes the right reads, knows where to go with the football. He certainly looks very much the veteran. He was a little off today, I thought, in terms of the pinpoint accuracy we saw from him yesterday.
Yeah.
Was a little off today. Johnny threw the interception to Chris Kirksey. Did show that one play where he rolled left, spun back, rolled right, made a nice throw to Nate Burleson. But, yeah, Brian Hoyer, he's ahead of him right now. There's no question about it. I don't think it's much of a debate in terms of just the overall command. I did like one thing I like about Johnny is that typically he finishes stronger than he started today. When they move the ball, they did those drills. Brian Hoyer and the first team offense didn't move the ball at all. Johnny led them on a 60-yard touchdown drive on the last team drill of the day.
At the end of the team
touchdown
drill.
Touchdown to Ray Agnew, the fullback, off of play action.
As the winter weather was blowing into Northeast Ohio. Man, I had to go, I had to do a whole wardrobe change here to get warmer. But
I didn't have one. I wish I did.
Here's the deal. You're right about that. And I like, you mentioned that Kirksey interception, which let's first of all, kudos to Chris Kirksey for making the play that he made and the alertness. But I think that's typical of what could happen and might happen with Johnny Manziel in the NFL, right? Because that was an ad lib. That was him, you know, moving, rolling, trying to find that guy. And we've seen at times where he had a play to the opposite side where he moved and literally saw a receiver that almost no one else could see come out of nowhere, and then all of a sudden he makes the play
to Burleson
across the field. And that's awareness. That's that extra thing. That's having the eyes proverbially in the side of your head and the back of your head. You say that about Joe Montana a lot. But in this drill later on where he threw the pick to Kirksey, that to me was a classic case of, okay, in the NFL, you're not going to get away with that kind of throw. At Texas A&M, he got away with that a lot.
Absolutely. It's a different level of game. And that's that right now, when you're looking at Johnny, you're going to have you're going to have some good, and you're going to have, you know, it's going to be rough at times. You know, it's going to be rough. You're going to have some of those turnovers. Brian Hoyer, now probably Buster Screen would tell you, should have had an interception. He jumped a route in front of Andrew Hawkins. Hoyer threw it right to him, went through his hands, and Hawkins had the wherewithal to catch it off the deflection. But I thought overall, you're right. Right now, if you said we had to play a game today, there's no question. Brian Hoyer is the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Will that be the case still by September 7th? You don't know? Probably, though, because there really isn't as much time as I think Johnny's going to need to get comfortable and get up to speed there. But we'll see, because you know what? He's a gamer. I think Brian Hoyer's a gamer, too, by the way. I think Brian Hoyer, based on – it's funny because people are saying, well, you know, and we talk about it at times. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see what all the things that make Johnny Johnny in practice. Well, I remember watching Brian Hoyer in practice last year. And neither one of us were very impressed. And he came out in games and was certainly much better. So Brian Hoyer, I think you'd call him a gamer too.
Think if you can think back to
this time last year,
you and I were very worried about the depth at quarterback. We were worried about the starting quarterback too, but we were very worried that, okay, what do they have? And we didn't think there was much there with Hoyer. We didn't think there was much there with Jason Campbell. So whatever that's worth or not worth, and he obviously, Hoyer had a great breakthrough moment in Chicago that was huge for him to get that start and get that opportunity to play the whole way because of Jason Campbell's health issue at the time. But back in moving back to Johnny Manziel or pushing forward to this year, I don't want to be a person who closes his mind and says, you know, what I decide today on July 28th is going to hold true on September 7th. It might not, but as you see it progress, and you've hit on the key point here, time is not a friend here in development, in seeing how a guy progresses practice after practice through the playbook, all this installation. As I said, they come up with 45 different plays today, roughly, was the number I understood from the coaching staff, than they had yesterday or on Saturday. And that's a big deal to transition that and then try to keep pace. And remember, those mistakes that were made on Sunday by Johnny, he didn't get a chance to really correct those today.
No.
He might have had a little time with Dow Loggins in a meeting room, but very little. The train moves forward and it moves fast, and I think that's really the issue here, is how fast can you close that gap? He's going to make progress. He's going to, I think, learn from the mistakes he's made, but you're right. I don't think there is going to be enough time between now and the time you're getting this team ready to play a first regular season game to have him ready to start.
Right, that's the issue. It's a matter of time, but certainly right now, Brian Hoyer, the guy, he's been working with the ones. Johnny Manziel, folks, hasn't taken a rep with the ones yet. Not a single one. So it seems to be that's kind of where it is. That's where people are at with this quarterback decision, and it's certainly going to be good to see this thing continue and progress. I know the team is optimistic. I know Brian Hoyer's got the respect of everybody in the locker room and the coaches.
Oh, yeah.
And you can see, you know, the work he's put in. You almost forget that he's coming off of an ACL when you watch him out there at times. You really don't even – it doesn't really cross the mind that much when you see him out there.
I've paid close attention to that. I was watching it more – I think closely yesterday than today, but just to see what comfort level he has or discomfort with that brace on, and it seems to be less of an issue for him. I noticed during the offseason he'd reach down, pull on it, and try to adjust it and maybe get to that comfort level. I think he's much more comfortable knowing that it's there, or maybe not knowing that it's there, not thinking about it as much as he did in the offseason. And I want to watch how he kind of torques, like when he does run and take off, when you have to plant and push, and when he's dropping back, how it affects his throwing motion. And I don't see any effect on that. I think it's pretty natural for him. What I would love to see, though, from Brian Hoyer more consistently is getting that ball out as quickly as possible. He did that. That was his forte last year. That was the signature. Now, some of that was because the other two quarterbacks on the team, Brandon Whedon and Jason Campbell, were so slow at doing it. So you notice it more from Hoyer. But I'd say even at times, I watched today too, get it out a little quicker. And then the general delivery and snap of the delivery, that ball, when you're going against either air, you're not going against really defenders who are in there, how fast does that ball get there, or how slowly does the ball get there? And I think I want to see it get there a little bit faster so that you don't get the knockdown, you don't get the interception. But by and large, he does look like the more NFL, the more professional quarterback of the two. And I'd say it is significant. I mean, watching the two of them throw the football right now on a practice-by-practice or snap-by-snap basis.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think a lot of it has to do with the preparation and the command and the knowledge. I think when Johnny has his first read open, Johnny looks pretty darn good. When he gets the ball on rhythm, his arm talent is pretty unquestionable. Mm-hmm. But Brian Hoyer is right now more prepared to play in the NFL. Johnny Manziel is going to do his best, obviously, to close that gap, but it's a matter of time. I think we're going to see – we're going to learn a lot, too, when it goes live. I think we're going to learn a lot at the Family Day scrimmage. I think we're going to see a lot about what these guys are going to do in a real football situation. So I think that's going to be good. But, you know, Brian Hoyer, very sharp. So far, this is how I break it down. Saturday, Johnny Manziel was incredibly sharp. He went on a run at the end of practice where the ball didn't touch the ground. Yesterday, Brian Hoyer, I think, had the ball touch the ground maybe once all day long. High completion percentage, totally in command. Today, a little bit of a mixed bag for both, but still Hoyer doing the things. He may have missed a couple of throws that he normally would make, but they were the right throws. The ball was thrown on time. They were just a little off today.
Yeah.
But all in all, it's Brian Hoyer. It is an open competition. I want to stress that, but I would be right now, if you're handicapping it, the needle's pointing certainly more at Brian Hoyer today. And I also want to talk about the fact that we've had really what I would call three chunk pass plays thus far in offense. Two of them have been Brian Hoyer to Anthony Armstrong. One yesterday, one again today, and then the other one came today when Johnny Manziel went to Josh Gordon one-on-one. Great coverage by T.J. Heath, a corner who I have been very impressed with. But you know what? That's what's special about Josh Gordon, and that's why it could potentially hurt so much to lose him. Even when he's perfectly covered, Vic, he's still open, and Johnny threw that fade up to said, go make a play, you're a pro bowler, and that's exactly what Josh Gordon did down the left sideline today.
Right, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. That's exactly how a lot of plays are going to go in the NFL. They're not going to be perfectly scripted to the point as it's drawn up, but you need to be able to make those kinds of plays as well. That has been the defining part of Johnny Manziel's game. Does it happen as often or as well in the National Football League? We're going to see, because there really hasn't been that kind of a quarterback consistently in the league making those kinds of plays. For the most part, the plays you make are going to be as they're constructed, or whatever you want to call it, in terms of their design. We want to hear from you, by the way, at 216-578-0850. We want you to tweet at us at Browns_daily and at Vic Carucci and at Nathan Zagura. We definitely want to hear from you. And let's get one call in here right now. This is Reggie in Youngstown. Wants to join us. Hey, Reg.
Hey, fellas. How you doing? Good, good, good. Hey, listen, I just want to ask two quick questions in general. Well, I want to ask the question, and then I just want to make a comment on a question in general that I had heard earlier today.
Okay, all right, let's do it.
Right quick here. One, I'm trying to understand, guys, why does the organization, what the coaches have to make a special package for Johnny Manziel when the season opens up just to get him in there? I don't understand that, man.
Who said that? It doesn't make no sense
that they would have to – they just doing this somehow or another to get him in there so he can get to play. I don't agree with it. I think that's very
wrong. I'm saying, where did you hear that was said,
I heard this morning on a really big show, they were talking about they probably would, you know, try to have maybe a special package to get him in there.
That's when I was on with them. I think you're taking it a little bit out of context. What I said was, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a package where they could use Johnny Manziel, much like the San Francisco 49ers had Alex Smith and then they had Colin Kaepernick. I said it would not be like Tim Tebow, where he came in and you knew he was going to run, but different because he can play quarterback, and you just give them a different look with your non-mobile quarterback and then a guy who puts that threat of mobility at them. I think it's a smart thing to do ultimately, because what you're doing, it's up to your discretion how much you want to use it, but when you show it and teams know it's out there, guess what they have to do in practice, Reggie? Guess what they have to do in those 3 days of practice and preparation they have for the game? They have to devote a significant amount of time to getting ready for what Johnny Manziel could do in some type of a read option pistol package that they wouldn't have to otherwise if it wasn't there. So I think it's a smart thing to do, a good way to get him on the field, and there are certain circumstances where I think he does put a lot of pressure on a defense, even if Hoyer's your starter.
And Reggie,
okay,
it's,
and let me say this.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll say this right quick, and I get out your way here. I think, to me, guys, I think it's wrong. I know LeBron's supposed to be coming, I guess, by practice tomorrow. I'm happy about LeBron being back. But I don't want him to get involved with this Manziel thing, man, because Manziel has been, few people have tried to talk to him that's even in his sport, and it just doesn't seem like he cares nothing about what nobody's saying. So I don't want to see LeBron get in it, guys. I really don't. Hey, guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Reggie, for that call. Just to echo on your point, too, it makes all the sense in the world to have something ready in the way of packages. This is not done, and just to the way I think Reggie was framing it was this is just forcing something just for the sake of getting Manziel on the field, and that is not a reason you do something. You only do it if you think that's going to help your football team win, and the best reason to do it, and I've maintained this all along, and you also said this today too, is – you're trying to give the opponent just something extra to prepare for. Competitively, that is the best way to go.
No question about it. All right, we'll be back with head coach Mike Pettine's press conference from after today's camp. And then at 1:30, Calvin Barnett, undrafted free agent out of Oklahoma State, will join us here. Zagura Carucci, Cleveland Browns Daily, day 3 of training camp, here live from Berea.